Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a new edition of the Sideline Junkies Network. It is I, the Midnight Rider. I am joined tonight for this show with the boss man, B, the big guy, KG. And when everybody sees Thursday night come around, they know one thing is happening and one thing only. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Thursday night throwdown. Yeah. You guys take it from there.
I love it. That's what I live for every week. I live for it. How's everybody?
Good, man. How you doing, B? I know you had a little battle this week.
A little battle. I'm still having a little battle. I'm still struggling here a little bit, but I'm here. It's good to see you fellas.
That's what's up. Go ahead, KG.
Well, it's Thursday. I mean, I don't know if y'all want to start with it first. I ain't got my mouse. But if you want to start it off with the Arrive 5 and get that on about the way, I got y'all.
Yeah, let's go to the Arrive 5. I'm trying to fix my audio issues over here and get back on this track that we call the board. All right, let's start with the Arrive 5. KG, take us away with the Arrive 5. Who's I saw your list. We're going to have to talk about one of them, but talk to me about your list. Are you going 1 through 5 or 5 through 1?
5 through 1.
Oh, we're going to jump right into the shits already then. Let's go.
Of course, because I can do that. That's what it is. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's about that time. That train pulling in the station, baby. It's the Arrive 5. So, it's going to cause some controversy, but I don't give a damn because controversy creates cash. Number 5.
At number 5,
the Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, number 5.
Can you please tell? We're going to stop right there. We're going to stop the train right there.
Can't stop the train when it gets on the tracks, man.
Nah, we going to stop it. This is the Superman. This is the, I can't even remember my, Christopher Reeve Superman. This is the real Superman. We stopping this train. How do you figure the Miami Dolphins have arrived and they even won the damn division? Week 18, and they still got the division up for grabs. They let the Buffalo Bills back, and they could have nailed the Buffalo Bills in the coffin. And every week they keep throwing them rope. They the slave that you hate. You getting fed.
No. We got you just like graduation. You got to let all the names get called first before we go into the discussion. We can't stop the train.
Okay. I'm going to mute myself. Go ahead, KG.
I know he's going to have an issue with that, but it's a reason. It's a method to the madness. I'll say that. Number four. Once called America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. No shame in my game, no hating on me, but Cowboys are number 4. Let me grab this list real quick from last week. The Cowboys made the list week before last, and then they were bumped for the Eagles. So we have a flip-flop here. Number three. The Detroit Lions are holding steady at number 3. No shame in them holding steady there. They're a good team, good squad. They have arrived. I mean, it's no way to other way to put it. Shit. I'm trying to get something going here. All right, number 2. And this team is up from number 4. But that is the San Francisco 49ers. And finally, number 1, who has been my steady?
Number 1.
Number 1, number one in your program, number one in the league. I'm just glad somebody finally arrived. Oh, Lord. Y'all doing me like that? Y'all gonna do me like that? Thank you, Paul. I know why it's not showing up. I got it. Appreciate that, Paul. Number one, the Baltimore Ravens. Hey, you come through with a win like you did on Sunday. Absolutely, positively got to be the number one team. They've locked up the number one seed in the AFC. They don't really have to play, but whatever y'all do, don't go with Odell on that damn boat this weekend.
All right, now we're open for all questions and controversies.
Oh, my God. I don't have the energy for this, okay? You said the Dolphins and the Cowboys, those are 5-4, right?
Yes.
That have arrived. They haven't even won their divisions yet. Miami, I was saying this, and the Midnight Rider was right. Let the list go, and then we talk about it. The Miami Dolphins are the slave you hate. Y'all are in the quarters. Y'all are talking about the plans to escape. And the Miami Dolphins, somebody in the Miami Dolphins organization is flying those plans right up to Buffalo. Because guess what? Sunday night at 8:20, they have to play a home game, and it ain't no bullshit beginning of the year game where they can put the Buffalo Bills in the sun and tire them out. They got to play football in football weather, if you can call that in Miami. But they can't arrive. They've had their chance to lock up the – when you say these teams arrive, Baltimore has arrived. They dominated all year. San Francisco has arrived. I'll give it to the Lions. The Lions have wrapped their division up. But the Cowboys can't – they still have to handle business against an NFC East rival that they could easily lose to. They could easily lose, and then the Eagles don't deserve to arrive anyway because they have been all over the place the last couple weeks. But the Dolphins could have been shut this door. And I posted a little video clip. I don't know if everybody saw it, but that Nicolas Cage and the Dolphins and Josh Allen catching up, smiling. And I think they're going to finish that job. You can't get – until they secure the AFC East, you can't give a team a ride and they haven't even secured their division. Next, you're going to say the Wizards arrive when they get to Virginia and they got a new house and they got a new stadium and stuff. Come on, you got to tighten up your arrive list. You've been tight on this when people arrive list for a long time, and you let two slime balls on the list.
Now, hold on. Let me defend myself here. And Paul says BJ's 100% correct here.
Thank you, Paul.
Here's why I can't say you're 100% correct, because I can't have the Dolphins go from number two on the Arrive 5 all the way out of the Arrive 5. At least I let the Eagles tumble down. I let them tumble down. It's only fair. It's one game. The Eagles tumbled down. They tumbled off. Then they climbed back on, and they're off again.
Can I give you a quick five?
Sure.
Baltimore.
Okay.
The 49ers.
Okay.
Detroit.
Okay.
Cleveland.
No.
The Cleveland
hasn't arrived yet.
Let me tell you something. What the Cleveland Browns had to do this year to get back on track is something short of amazing. With Joe Flacco, they are honestly a scary. I don't think Baltimore wants to play Cleveland. I think if you ask Baltimore, who don't you want to see in that first round coming into Baltimore, it's the Cleveland Browns. They could easily put Baltimore right out of the playoffs. Baltimore, and then I would probably finish up with, I would probably give it to Buffalo.
Homer.
I would probably give it to Buffalo or the Rams. There's no other team worthy of this. I'm not Dallas. No. Dallas and Philly didn't choke all year.
No, Dallas has actually played really, really good ball all year long.
You saying Dallas playing good ball all year round? Everybody thought they was a top tier team until they came to Buffalo a couple weeks ago and got drugged up and down the field like they were the Commanders.
See, now you being unreasonable right now because you got people catching strays that ain't got nothing to do with this.
I'm just saying. I mean, we got to pick bottom dwellers. I mean, because it can't be the Bears anymore. The Bears are actually coming up the ladder a little bit.
Yeah, but you know, now see, here's the thing: you talking all this stuff like this about the Bills, but you fail to realize that Steve Harvey is a slime ball, and what he did to Cat Williams wasn't even right. But you want to talk about this?
That's a whole different show. That's a whole different show.
But no, I can't put the Browns on yet because there's still work to be done. That's just my opinion. And I really wanted to say the Browns, but I can't.
I don't know, man. I mean, the list is your list. And the fact that you can move it around, figure out what you want to do, how you want to represent it, that's up to you. I do think Cleveland deserves a spot in the five. Just off the fact of four quarterbacks playing in the season, starting games in the season, and you're actually still, I think, 11-5. You're actually clinched the spot in the playoffs. You're not waiting. You don't need like a hurricane to hit Miami and Buffalo and the Dolphins get destroyed and all this other stuff to happen. You've covered all your scenarios, and you've done it with a guy that you called off the couch. That I still don't understand why the Jets didn't go after him, but that's neither here nor there. I'm still laughing inside because I remember hearing all the Cleveland fans complain about not keeping Josh Dobbs and what kind of backup plan did you have and all that stuff. And now we're here. And I think Cleveland deserves a shot, but it's your list. So I'm going to let you have it.
One quick little stat. There are three teams that have above three-game winning streaks. Baltimore's first, six-game winning streak. Then Cleveland and Buffalo are tied for four-game winning streaks. There's no other team. Let me see. Let me make sure.
You're right.
The other team with a three-game winning streak are the Rams.
And Joe Flacco, I think four of the last five, if not five of five, for 300-yard games.
Let me ask you guys a question. I want to play host and moderate here. I know who's been in the lead for comeback player year. I think that's what it is. He shouldn't be because I don't know if he has registered a tackle. Right?
I think he's got two.
He got two? Okay. But can Joe Flacco win that award?
No. No. He hasn't played enough games. He hasn't played enough games. And if you're going to give it to anybody, I mean, your heart is saying, bad choice of words. Consensus is saying DeMar Hamlin. That's what consensus is saying. It's saying DeMar Hamlin. But if you look at a true comeback player, it would have, if you would have gotten Flacco earlier, okay, Flacco, but it's not DeMar Hamlin. It's got to be. Oh God, I got the name right on the tip of my tongue. Can't say it.
Hold on. It still says fake Facebook user. Is that Paul saying Jags won five straight in October?
Yeah, that's Paul.
Paul, hey, Paul, you start. Come on, Paul. You sound like a Cowboy fan. We won five straight in October.
Look, how about this? Y'all go ahead and debate this. Let me fix that. I can fix that.
Okay. Now, so, and look,
everybody that's watching on Facebook, switch your. It's gonna come back. On the page, I'll share it in the group. I'll take care of it. So just be right back.
Okay, no problem. Hey, look, I understand. So
let's go with that. What you were talking about with the comeback player. And I'm just rummaging through my head real quick. I think of a guy like a Breece Hall. You know, out last year with an injury. I don't know if he may have 1,000 yards. I got to double check that, but. Just off the top of my head, he's somebody that I consider comeback player. I think he's right where you said. I mean, five games out of a 17-game schedule, and you get a season-long award? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
I know it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I know it's a great story. I think the better story is going to be Joe. I hope we get the story, too. I hope the story is Joe going in to Baltimore leading the Browns
and beating the Ravens in Baltimore. Oh my goodness, that stadium would come apart.
If Baltimore gets beaten, defeated by January Joe, it would be one of the greatest stories ever lived. It'd be one of the greatest stories in sports ever.
Because Joe has had magic. Joe's had playoff. Yeah.
January Joe. That's that run. So when you were talking about Philly earlier, the Ravens had a similar run where they lost like four of their last five games to end the season. They ended up with close to the same records. They're off by a game because when the Ravens did it, of course, it was only a 16-game schedule, not a 17-game schedule. And the Ravens ended up winning the Super Bowl. They didn't have any kind of momentum going into the playoffs. They struggled. The game they got the momentum was the Hail Mary from what's his face? The Hail Mary to Jacoby Jones, where the safety for the Broncos misplays that ball terribly, and that's how you even get this run to happen. Like, that could be something we talk about later on when we start getting to the dog days. The term I like to use is watershed, but moments that, like, if you think about them deep down in history, like, if a play is made, if a call is made, how much that affects the universe and how this game is. Perfect example is if Mo Lewis doesn't blow up Drew Bledsoe on the sideline. Another example real quick would be if pass interference was called in that Rams championship game. Things like that. So we got plenty of stuff that we can try to put on a list and maybe even, you know, get some suggestions in and go from there. But getting back to the theory at hand, yeah, comeback player, I think you have to play a majority of the season. You can't play just in five games. Roll out in your Under Armour gear, with your little roller and your yoga mat and become the comeback player of the year.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It has to be. We talk about like having some type of bars for the Hall of Fame, what you need, how many yards you need to accomplish. And like you said, Midnight Rider, just to win a season award and you being deactivated 70% of the time. It just, and I understand this is hopefully this is something we don't ever see again. A player die on the field and had to be revived. And it's a unique situation, but you're possibly talking about a player that won't even be with the team next year. All right.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about the Buffalo Bills have almost been decimated in secondary. He still can't get on the field. That's all you need to know.
So I think, this is where the Ron Rivera, Alex Smith situation comes to my mind. Where you have a guy that you pretty much his life was in danger, and now you're challenged with trying to figure out how much to play him. And I think some of this is McDermott and company not even wanting that risk. Like, you don't want that hanging over your head, the kid gets hit, because then everybody's gonna ask the question where they reverse it on you. Oh, you know, he should have never been playing. That should have never happened. You shouldn't have taken a risk. Where all along they've been like, oh, play him because of the opportunity. So,
and moving, we're gonna move right along. We already 20 minutes into this thing. Big guy, you back with us?
Yes, sir. Back. Everything's fixed. So, Paul, when you come back, we can see you. We can see the names now.
All right, you're gonna have to show me what happened on that thing there. Excuse me. I'm gonna have to apologize in advance.
I need to get something to drink.
I just need. I need, like, you know, that bottle cleaner. I just need that for the lungs.
You know, we could get,
you know, one of them type things.
You could go to, at the bottom of the screen, https www.byfortmose.com/discount/maniacs. Take advantage of our discount. You can get you, what is it, a whiskey, a rye, and a rum. But if you, as long as you put in that maniacs discount, you're good to go. And if you order over $130 worth of alcohol, you get free shipping. So again, fortmose.com/discount/maniacs. Go buy your bottle. If you don't drink, just get one and just look at it because it's a pretty bottle. I should have one hopefully in the next week or two so I can show it off.
Well, if you don't drink, send it to us. Shit, I drink. Yeah. All right, fellas.
Look, what else we got on the slate?
We got Saturday games on the slate. Playoff implications. Not for one of the teams, but three out of four have heavy playoff implications. And we're going to start with the team we just talking about. We're going to go to Baltimore, and the Steelers are coming into town, and they are four-point favorites over the Ravens that are going to be sitting Lamar Jackson, probably a couple other people. The over-under for this one's 35.5. Fellas, do we think the Steelers can come in here and beat a second squad, second team, third team Ravens? Let's do Midnight Rider, and then we go to Big Guy.
No, I believe so. I think this game sets up. I think the reason it sets up is a reason I thought I'd never say, but Mason Rudolph has led this team to two of his highest scoring games of the season, their best offensive outputs. So, I mean, this is even Lloyd Christmas. This is a real legit chance that the Pittsburgh Steelers have coming into Baltimore. I know Snoop or Tyrone Huntley or whatever you want to call him, I know he's starting, but I don't think the Ravens have enough. The only thing that's going to be driving them is keeping their rivals out of it. But I don't think that's going to be enough. I really don't. So I'm gonna take the Steelers in the 4 points, and I think it's gonna go over, but it's not gonna be much.
Matthew Caitlin with the comments. Steelers should be able to win this game, but you know Baltimore would love to knock them out, even with sitting guys.
KG, go ahead.
How sure are we that they're going to sit the starters?
Oh, Lamar sitting 100%.
Okay. Now, with that being said, I think the Steelers can win this. However, the Steelers will be their own worst enemy. If they don't win this, it'll be the Steelers. It won't be because Baltimore played a hell of a game or this, that, and the other. It'll be because the Steelers failed this. I got to say, the Ravens going to have to play keep away. And Dalvin Cook, even though I thought he was signed in Dallas, he signed in Baltimore. He may need to get his sea legs this weekend. And it's not hard. 50 gut, 60 gut, 65 toss power trap. Classic plays, easy to remember, easy to run. You know, keep on circulating the ball.
Is that playbook still written in stone tablet? I'm just asking questions, man.
Why can't he
run like duo and stuff like that? I mean, some teams still running, but I mean, a lot of those names are now, you know, like in a cave somewhere waiting for an architect to come back and find it. That's all.
Here's the thing. If you put lipstick on a pig, it's still going to be a pig. So if you call XY2 70 gut, this, that, and the other, it's still a fucking gut play. It's whatever.
Okay, just asking, man.
Real quick, fellas. The Pittsburgh Steelers, even if they win, they still need the scenario. Number one would be Buffalo loss. Number two would be Jacksonville loss. Number three would be a Houston Indy tie. Or Pittsburgh would tie. Jacksonville would lose. Houston and Indy doesn't end in a tie. Or Jacksonville loses, Denver wins, Indy and Houston doesn't end in a tie. So they win, they still need help. But if you're the Baltimore Ravens, we talked about the threat the Cleveland Browns have coming into Baltimore, meeting them later on down the line. This is a division opponent. If they come in there and beat you and somehow catch fire, and you have to see them for a third time, does that not pose a risk? Are you not worried about that If you're Jim Harbaugh, are you worried about that? If you're the Ravens organization, is that something you're worried about having to play them? You know, they might not be the most, you know, up their team as far as, you know, like the Buffaloes or the Miamis. But if you're Ravens and you're AFC North, are you worried about facing them a third time? Do you want to put them out of their misery? Real quick, Midnight Rider, then Big Guy.
Real quick, I'm just going to say one word, culture. The Ravens preach a winning culture, whether it's winning 23 preseason games in a row, whatever it is, winning is winning. They don't care how they do it or who they do it with. They just want to win the ball game. And I think you're making an absolute great point. I just don't know if they have enough left over to actually win the ball game. I think the Steelers are coming in too motivated to allow that to happen. But I see your point, and I totally like where you're going with that. KG?
Steelers win this. They'll be high to win it, but I still think they don't make the playoffs. So that's my thoughts.
All right. Now on to the next game. We got another Saturday game. And this one right here, this is going to be something to watch. I think this is going to be a really, really good one. We got the Houston Texans going to Indianapolis to face the Colts. The Texans are 1.5-point favorite. The over-under for this one is 47.5. Before we get going, let me read the playoff clinching scenarios for the Houston Texans. They need a win and a Jacksonville loss or tie. Remember, this is for the division. Isn't this for the division, Midnight Rider?
If they win and Jacksonville loses, then yes, they win the division.
Yeah, okay. So I didn't know. I thought it was just Houston, but Houston, Indianapolis, and Jacksonville are still fighting for the AFC South.
Right.
Wow, okay. So the Houston Texans need a win and, of course, a Jacksonville loss. Houston clinches playoff berth with a Houston win or Houston tie and a Jacksonville loss and a Pittsburgh loss or tie. All right, here's where we go into, you know, we start getting it. When we get deeper into this, we can start going into algebra here. Indianapolis, the same thing. If they win, they need Jacksonville to lose or tie. Or Indy ties and Jacksonville loss, they would still clinch the South. Indianapolis can still just clinch a playoff berth with a win or a tie in the Pittsburgh loss. Gentlemen, talk to me. Texans, Colts, who you got? Midnight Rider, Big Guy KG, and I'll come back to myself.
This is like this is one of those games where I think I've been on both teams talking about their performance all year. I think I've been higher than most people in this, but I think the Texans are going to win it. I think having CJ back and back in the fold. Now, I do have a bold prediction. I think both quarterbacks will go for 320 and each will throw a pair of touchdown passes. I'll definitely go with that. And I know this game is hitting over because I don't think the defenses in this game are going to be able to keep up. So with that said, I got the Texans winning 1.5 over the 47.5. Minshew and Stroud, 320 plus, and 2 touchdowns each.
Mm. Talk to me, Big Guy.
You got 2 rookie head coaches going up against each other. That says something. That says D'Amico Ryans, I think, is going to get Coach of the Year as well as CJ Stroud being Rookie of the Year. Oh, this is tough, man. I think the Texans will pull it out. Texans will cover. I think you'll get the under. I think this is going to be a battle. And if they can do this, if the Texans can do this, and even if the Colts put up a heavy fight and this game comes down to being like, what, 27, 24? Nope, not even 27. Let's call it 24-21. And it's going to be a lot of bad blood. I think you got a breeding ground for a true division rivalry between these two coming up next season. And for years to come, as long as D'Amico Ryans and what's his name? Shane Steichen are at the helm. Steichen. That long as they're at the helm, I think this is going to be the groundwork for some classic battles. Maybe even on the level of Pittsburgh, Oakland, just bad blood and just great games. So,
and just so you know, KG, both rookie coaches. So it shows you that it doesn't take 4 to 5 years to build it if you build it the right way.
Hold on, let me, Matt. Let me read Matt's comment. No clue how this one goes. I would take any just because they got RB and JT, Jonathan Taylor, that can take it over. No, hey, look, and I know Paul coming through. I know Paul coming through because y'all ain't said nothing about the Jags. You talking about Pittsburgh Raven rivalry? You done left the Jaguars all out. I think the Texans win because it isn't just Stroud. It's Will Anderson too, D'Amico, who is a true players coach. I can see the Colts winning, but my gut says Houston. That's Paul. Yeah, Paul gonna come through and rip y'all. Y'all talk about the Jaguars. All right, you leaving out. You talking about future battles. Like, they going to take over the division. You done left Paul's Jaguars all out of. Me and Paul already got beef with the real Josh Allen. We don't need any more beef right now, all right? Okay? But
what's your thoughts, B?
Now, look, real quick. If you're the NFL, you are, like, all these games and scenarios this week, they are having a party right now. You could not plan this out better. For two Saturday games. Even though the Ravens are sitting, it's still going to be an intense game because those two teams hate each other. Okay? Then you have Houston and Indy, and I agree with the big guy. This is a new rivalry brewing. You got – if you're Houston, you just lost – what's the boy named? Watson. You plug in C.J. Stroud, and guess what? Not only can you make the playoffs, you could win your division tomorrow. Like – if you got season tickets in Indianapolis, whatever, you're a football fan, this is what you live for. I'm taking Houston. Give me Houston. I think it's going to be the C.J. Stroud show. I think C.J. Stroud, give me Houston. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think this is going to be 38-35, 42-35. This is what C.J. Stroud earns that. That little Buckeye on his little his thing right here, and he's going to take the last minute drive, and it's going to be for the AFC South, and that's how it's going to happen. Give me Houston. Give me 42-35 Houston.
Can I ask y'all a question? Y'all do know that, like, in this division, at one time, like, the Texans were perennial playoff contenders, and the Colts were as well with Andrew Luck and company. It's like, you guys keep saying, like, this rivalry. I mean, we can't act like the microwave world and forget that the world doesn't exist beyond 2023. So we gotta put some respect on that.
We gotta think like the millennial. Nothing happened before 2021. Nothing. There's no hit sport history ever. Hey guys, can y'all read this one, please? Because my voice ain't gonna go out.
I got you.
If the Jags lose to Ryan Tannehill, they do not deserve the division. But Tennessee is our oldest and most hated rival. But the real Josh Allen is going to turn out.
Hey, look, this is what I be talking about. And Paul, I understand what you're saying, but it's a division rival. That's the worst part. Y'all know each other. It's not, you got to throw them new wrinkles in there, but you still got to run your same game plan. They know you. And if you got good coaches on both sides, it's kind of hard. It's like Buffalo struggled with New England. It's not because, I mean, New England got a really good defense. Let's just say that. But I've covered Stephon Diggs for 3 years, two games. I know his moves. I know what Josh Allen going. I know what he likes. You know, so it's no surprise. You got to really start pulling out the rabbit hat stuff. But you only do that once or twice a game. You got to really save that stuff. But, you know, Tennessee is Tennessee. Is it Ryan Tannehill or is the other boy starting?
I think Levis is hurt.
Oh, Levis is hurt. So, okay. Oh, the Tannehill train got to come. But if Tannehill's starting, they might win because he's a couple interceptions waiting to have. Three interceptions for Tannehill at least. He's going to get that game up. Y'all know how I feel about Ryan Tannehill. So let's not even go there.
You know what? Yeah, let's not. Because I got some choice words for that cat too. But you made a comment, Midnight Rider. It doesn't take 4 years. Well, okay. When you got to turn over a roster.
We'll name this segment the Ron Apologist segment.
I'm not apologizing for Ron. I feel that's the key for every coach. I feel every coach should have a chance to put their stamp on the team. If you really want to look at it, when a coach comes into it and they win immediately, they're not winning with their guys. John Gruden won a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay in 2002. He didn't win with his guys. He won with Tony Dungy's guys. Tyrone Willingham came in the game. He didn't win with his guys.
KG. What are you saying? Are you defending Ron?
No, I'm not defending anybody. I'm saying this is what happens. If you come into us, if I just got fired from Team A, BJ comes in and takes over Team A, he immediately takes them all the way to the playoffs, takes them and they're winning. He's not winning with his guys. He's winning with my guys. Now, when those guys circle out, he starts picking his own guys, putting his own fingerprint on them, not taking nothing away from D'Amico Ryans, not taking nothing away from Stetson, not taking anything from these rookie head coaches. I'm telling you what it's really like. Because I think they got it so they can win for long term.
Yeah, but because they solved the quarterback position.
Hello? And what have I said for the longest? What's the biggest thing that Ron has had to deal with? Not having a quarterback.
That's his fault. That's his fault.
I never said it wasn't.
That's his fault.
But if you come in and you say, I'm going to take this team to the playoffs, you win a Super Bowl, you won with the guy before you guys. When those guys start leaving in free agency and going to get their money, let me see you win when you got your fingerprint on the team. And I think D'Amico Ryans can do that. So I think Shane, I keep saying his name wrong. What is it again?
Steichen.
I keep saying they can do that because they're built for long term. Only thing Steichen has to worry about is getting his quarterback healthy.
You know what? Now I see why you took this approach on this. Because if I remember correctly, like around week 5 or week 8, a certain coach said, if I'm not here and this team wins a Super Bowl or something, I'm gonna be happy for him and he wants his ring or something to that effect. I think that was Ron Rivera. So what are you doing? What's going on here, KG?
I don't know nothing you're talking about. I don't remember that happening. I disavow any knowledge. Have a comment.
Listen here. We're talking about NFL playoff teams that have the possibility to make the playoffs. The violin strings have been plucked for the Washington Commanders. Absolutely ran through. The violin is on fire. And it's one of those cartoon fires where you threw it in the trash and you can't put it out with water. You got to run outside with it. It's one of those. We talking about week 18. We ain't talking. Everybody got an E beside their name. We're not talking about these teams until our off-season show after the Super Bowl. All
right, so I'll try to bring us back to normalcy here. I would not discount any of these crazy scenarios from happening because I think it was 2 years ago when Cincinnati made the playoffs and made their run. All the crazy teams had to lose first, and Cincinnati was on a wing and a prayer, and they only get in because they throw like a 53-yard touchdown to Tyler Boyd and went over the Ravens. I think they essentially knocked the Ravens out of the playoffs while putting themselves in the playoffs. And all the other crazy shenanigans happened that year. So we could be up for one of those. It takes 10 things to happen. And I mean, it's possible. Anything's possible. Ask KG.
But you didn't move on. You never went to
Kevin Garnett, not KG.
Or the other KG?
Right.
There can only be one. It's like Highlander.
Hey, look. I'm ready. I'm excited to watch football Saturday. I'll be watching probably both games, especially the Texans Colts game. I think that's going to be a really good game. So, what else we got, fellas?
You got a comment from Paul.
Paul, let me see. Why they ain't showing up? All right, somebody else got to read this for me.
Tennessee lost 18 in the last 23 games, was still injured. It ain't in the bag yet, but Peterson will have their mind right. I believe that. I think Doug Peterson has to go down as he's like Chuck Noll, not on the same level. They said Chuck Noll was not a teacher. He was a great motivator of men. And I think Doug Peterson is a great motivator of men. I think that's what he is. Because most coaches, you either a teacher and a motivator, or you're one or the other. And I think Doug Peterson is a good motivator of men. So I think Jacksonville will be ginned up for this game.
And Mike says, sadly, your team, the Commanders, and my team, the Raiders, have been mismanaged for a decade. Good news for you is a new owner that seems good. I still got an owner with no clue.
But you do have a head coach. Mm-hmm. You do have a possible head coach that your team is rallying behind, and those players are ready to run through a brick wall for Antonio Pierce. That's all I'm going to say. Starts there. When you lose your locker room and it's still on the field, when you get on the field and you're not supposed to win games and you're in those games and everybody, a football person, you see, man, if they had a quarterback, this is their game. If they had this is their game. When you just get completely out-coached and outclassed every time, two different ends of the spectrum.
But that's not Antonio Pierce's team. That's Josh McDaniels' team.
Hey,
according to the rules of the show,
and it tells you it, the rules of the show. It just tells you how bad
Josh McDaniels is.
Because he had the same team. I guarantee you, if you get the right person to a certain team, the team will be competitive.
Here's the thing. I said that, and I'm gonna back it up. Because when I said that about Gruden and Dungy wasn't focused on offense like Gruden was. So if Dungy would have focused on the offense a little bit more, you remember that team was in the NFC Championship game under Dungy. So, I mean, I'm just saying. Next up.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got to read that comment for me.
He should, but he wants Gruden or Harbaugh. That's interesting.
Which Gruden?
A damn train.
He wants John.
Yeah, he want him back.
Because, you know, he never wanted to fire him.
Somebody read Paul's comment for him.
Mark Davis chooses that haircut. I don't know that he makes the right choice with beer.
Hey, little Bo, cut a low. I wonder if is that a Flovey special?
I don't know, but here's one thing I know. Yes, his last name is Davis, but he doesn't have it to carry his father's mantle. You know, he can't tell you about the history of the Raiders like a Davis should be able to. You know, he doesn't give me just win, baby. You know, he doesn't give me that. Just being honest.
Fellas. Quick Thursday show. It's time to wrap this shit up. We talked about the Saturday games. We talked about the big guy KG's arrive five list. We threw some Fort Mose at you. Discount code Maniacs. What else? What are we wrapping this up with?
So last night, the NBA had one of its wildest nights ever. It says that five teams scored 140 points, four teams scored 130 points in losses. I saw some of these games. I don't know, man. It's tough. It's becoming a tough watch because the level of defense. And I'm not asking for 80s defense where you're sliding. I just want you to try to keep the guy in front of you. Put some effort into it. Stop worrying about the crossover. Stop worrying about getting dunked on and actually, like, protest and put up a fight. But last night was, I mean, I don't think the scoring's that much better. So, I mean, I don't know. It just was a tough night for me to watch. But they had a good night. So maybe offense is what the league is trying to be built on. And that's their that's what they're going to hang their hat on. Team scoring 130, 140 points.
And I'm going to say this.
business.
And Midnight Rider, you say it all the time. It's not this. The league isn't for us.
Right.
When Detroit and San Antonio were winning games, scoring 75, 79, 83 points, that looked bad for the league. That looked bad on them. They wanted the 110, 117. They wanted the, you know, 123, 115 games. And now they open those gates up a little bit and you start getting higher scores. Of course, the referee situation, a whole different situation, because that also alters the game the way you can guard people. But it's just not an emphasis on defense anymore. It's not, and it's a very tough game to watch. And I think it lost me as a full-time watcher probably two seasons ago. It's just, I think 90% of it's unwatchable. It's just bad basketball. And I'm not shitting on these guys. It's just bad basketball on what I grew up on, what I'm used to watching, versus what's out there on the court now. Guys not even trying. It's bothersome. But this is what the NBA want. This is their baby. This is their baby. This is their little Chipotle burrito that they carrying around. And this is what they got to live with now. This is they got to live with one. I never thought I would hear somebody say 140 and winning, 130 losing, and they were bad games. Like, that's what people been begging for, scoring, right?
But yeah, but I think it's the how we got there.
Yeah.
Like, I think the hard part for me, I mean, and I'm not going to lie, some of this had some gambling overtones to it, so we're not going to lie there. You know, there may have been, you know, a Zion Williamson getting 8 rebounds last night. He only got 4. I don't know how a 6'8 guy listed as your 4 only has 4 rebounds. But even taking it off of that gambit, I just don't understand. It's funny because I was always taught we never let the basketball touch the ground. And we used to do suicides when the shot was taken and the basketball hit the ground. Like, we had to run. You had to go get it. And the funny part to me when I watch these games now is I see these teams shoot the ball and the shooter is going back down the court, but he's not the only one. Like, the whole team has retreated and just gone back. And it's like, we're not going to go get the offensive rebound. But that's old man basketball. I don't want to get too caught up in the weeds in that. But that's just my observation from last night, and I thought I should bring that to the table since we were doing the show tonight.
Big guy, you got anything to say about that before we end this thing?
We'll never go back to what. And when we say 80s defense, we're talking actual strap up defense. We're talking hand checking and you know, actually being able to, if you back me down, you're able to back me down. I'm able to body you without getting cold. That's what we talk about when we talk about 80s defense. We'll never see that again. We'll never see the mid-range game is dead. Everything is about either a dunk or a three. And I agree with both of you gentlemen. This is not our league. So this is just what you said. This is their baby. Unfortunately, you're going to see a lot more 140-point games. You're going to see in a regular season that's not an all-star game, you're going to see the record broken. You're going to see 160 points. You're going to see 170. You're going to see close to 200 within the next 5 years. I promise you that.
I forgot two things. First, Lakers are now 3-8 since the in-season tournament ended. And I told you here was the spoon. I told you the spoon was coming. I told you they were going to win this tournament. And then they were going to struggle in the days after. And that's exactly what they've done. Just because I don't think from an energy standpoint. So I think that might become a part of the consideration where the league places this in-season tournament. I would love to see them do it more towards the All-Star break and make that part of the All-Star weekend. But again, I'm not in the planning committee. There was one more thing. Oh, big news is the Washington Nationals have not signed anybody of importance. So two big things going into the offseason.
Mm. Can I get a quick rebuttal in there?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Midnight Rider, do you really think it's a fatigue thing with the Lakers, or do you really think that the reports are true that the great Darvin Ham, inventor of the Ham Slam, has lost the locker room?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, that's why, the part of the tournament I didn't like is by it being so early, you can't really establish your identity in your rotations. And those are some things that I feel as a coach, you got to work yourself through. You know, you got to get guys knowing this is when you're coming in. This is your routine. And I think when you push the competition the way that tournament did, I think it took some guys out of what they normally get or what they normally would get. And I think the hard adjustment is going back from what you've been doing for a month and some change to what you're doing now, which is normally what you would do.
I'm going to say one thing. We got to get out of here. This, I don't even know how to say this. And I express my disdain with the in-season tournament. But that's how you should be playing all season.
Say it again.
That's how you should be playing all season. It shouldn't be a damn in-season tournament so you can play your best ball. It's just absolutely sad. Fellas, unless y'all got anything, we got to step out of here. We have 51 on a Thursday show with only two NFL games. Me struggling through this thing, thick as I can be. But we got to get out of here. And I would say the slogan, tribute to Big John, but that's lying. We do overtime. We got 16 out. Our paycheck next week going to look good. So for the big guy, KG, the Midnight Rider, myself, the Boss B, that's the Thursday Night Throwdown. Thank you for joining us. Happy 2024, because this is y'all first time seeing me. We out of here.
Shout out to the people in the comments.